All right. Well, thank you everybody for coming. I know that as real estate agents do, they'll be filtering in like Adele. Everybody look at Adele and just stare, be like, thanks for being late. Just kidding. As I always do when I start these things off, I just want to send my sincere appreciation for everybody coming and participating. I think it's really unique, especially in our area, for agents to come together and learn and grow together. I think what we find a lot of the times is it sort of can be a very lonely business where you work and work and work and try your hardest to grow. And then months go by and years go by and things don't change. And so again, I want to thank you guys for being here and sort of just participating as we go along. Hopefully today you will find some inspiration about social media, because to be honest with you, social media has in no uncertain terms changed my life. And I don't think you can overstate the importance of social media in today's age, but also going forward. By a show of hands here, who has social media? Who consumes social media? Everybody watch social media? Now, on a daily basis, how many of you contribute every day to social media content? Does anybody post every single day? But everybody here consumes every day, correct? Like everybody at least once a day, unless you like give it up for Lent and you're like, I'm not going to go on social media. And then you think about it, it's burning a hole in your pocket. You have to delete it from your phone to try to stay away from it. Like that is the thing, is that there's a tremendous amount of consumption with a very few amount of people actually doing social media, comparatively speaking. Because even in the motivated room that we're in right now, we have great agents in this room, and I see great agents all the time not contribute to social media, not put their presence out on social media, but they're consuming a ton of it, right? How many of you guys have bought something from social media? Just think about it. Clicked on an ad. Now, I'll be honest, up until like 3 or 4 months ago, even if there was like something really cool that I really wanted to buy, like a pair of shoes or sunglasses or anything like that, like I wouldn't click on the link just because like, fuck you, social media. You don't know me that well. Yet they keep doing it, and then I have to ignore it. I had to try really hard. But how many people have gone to an event? How many people have seen something happening in like gotten a review from a local restaurant? Somebody post about something that you take literal action, or you spend your money on that thing. How many of you have created a social relationship with somebody where you've never met them in person, but what they say, you trust what they say because they become believable in your eyes? You consume so much of their content that it's almost impossible for them to be fake. It's not like it was celebrities were 20, 30, 40 years ago, where you got this curated view and behind the scenes, they were a mess, right? If somebody's coming on social media every day and they sit down for a 2-hour, 3-hour podcast, they're showing you what they do every morning, midday, and you're watching it on their reels, you're watching it on their stories. It's almost impossible for them to fake you out. It's almost impossible for them to be that inauthentic consistently over time. And because of that, and because inherently we know that as human beings, we know that somebody can't fake that over time, we create a relationship where we trust them. And when they say something, it becomes that much more believable. I believe the future of politicians is going to come from social media, because you can't fake it anymore. And I think we've lived through a generation where people say they are something and they're not. And this is the equalizer, because there is no cost to it. You can get on social media and it's absolutely free. Now, if you want to do it at scale, I believe that you need help. But think about it, guys. This is a free platform to create authenticity, to get your word out, to have a conversation with people geographically who are not next to you. Somebody in California can watch your videos before they come into town, decide that you know what you're doing and you know what you're saying, create a parasocial relationship and hire you to do a job. Prior to the, and if you're not on there, you're not stepping up and saying, hey, I'm available for this. I'm a good option for you. If you're not on there, you're not getting that option. I feel like prior to actually starting this, so I started sort of taking social media seriously 2.5 years ago, So in October of 2022, I did my first video where I hired a social media company and posted it online. Prior to that time, I did what every real estate agent does. What do typical real estate agents post on social media?
Sold a house.
Thank you. Just listed, just sold. Every once in a while, you get together on a group photo and you're so small that nobody will recognize you anyway. So you post it on social media because then nobody comments on what you actually look like. Or are you not conscious or thinking about like, what do I look like? And you post it on social media. So it's like, literally, you just go and, you know, the blocks are all literally just listed, just sold. And listen, that's great. If you post once every month, you're going to get some views. People are going to like, oh, congratulations. That was what I did on social media prior to. And if I'm being very honest, it was because I watched what other people did and I judged them for it. I was very judgmental. And therefore, because of my own insecurities, I believed everyone else was judging or would judge what I would put out there on social media. So basically, social media was a big mirror that amplified my own insecurities about social media, my own insecurities about me, and it prevented me from stepping forward and actually providing value and showing people who I actually am. And I believe that that's at the crux of what is wrong or what prevents people from actually taking that next step and getting into social media. I had a massive insecurity, but I also had a massive fear of failure. And I was coachable. So I'm sitting there. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I had somebody in my life, Aaron Novello, who explained to me the value of doing it. And not once, but it took him a year of explaining, hey, listen, this is a good thing. This is why. Here's the value. What's going on? He's doing it. He's illustrating in real time. He was a salesperson who sold 200 homes a year, never on social media, considered it social. It's not business media. That was what our coach used to say about us, say about social media. It's not business media. It's social media. You go there for social reasons. And then I watched everybody else, all of these people, and by all of these people, like 15 or 20 agents, right? Not hundreds of agents, but 15 or 20 agents actually start to grow their businesses and get results. Oh, that works for them, I would say, but that's just not me. Right? I'm not going to get that amount of business from it. I can't. And I ignored it. I ignored it until it was in my face so much that I couldn't ignore it anymore. So you take a massive insecurity, you add on an incredible fear of failure. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want everybody else to continue to grow and me not be there. And then I had somebody who was holding me accountable, smacking me upside the head all the time, saying, hey, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And in order for me to get off the ground and do it, I hired a social media company to edit the videos because I knew with running the business and doing 60, 70 transactions a year, I knew I just didn't have the time nor the inclination to go out and do it. I want to show you guys the first video or one of the first videos. Look at my eyes. Here's the script right by the camera. I'm reading it. Reading over here. Camera angle's bad. Filters on it because I was like, I tried 7 different views in that room. That took me like 2 hours to shoot. Follow me here.
Most new homeowners make after purchasing their home. So I see this time as
everybody needs to start somewhere on social media. And I think that's one of the intimidating things too, is that if you start to watch and consume information from other people that have done it and then have put in the time and then have been doing it for years, it seems authentic. And then you get in front of the camera and you sort of like, you cower up, right? And you're like, oh man. And you try to shoot it a bunch of times. And what you're doing is you're being extraordinarily critical of yourself, right? You look at, what does my face look like? What do the clothes look like? What does the lighting look like? All of that kind of stuff. What you guys have to realize is that that was me to a T. I would analyze, I would wear a suit and a tie because that's what I thought people wanted to see, but I was paying money for it. I had to put out 7 videos a week. So I'm going to shoot the content. And then all of a sudden, after a little while, you start to go, even if I put this video out, a couple hundred people are going to stop on it quickly, and then they're going to keep going. And then I realized that people are hearing the words, not what I look like. People aren't commenting on that. And even if they do, even if you get to the point where you're big enough, where people are commenting on what you look like and what you're wearing and all that kind of stuff, good, because they're going to comment on it. It's going to drive traffic. You're going to start to develop a thicker skin. It leads to so many other things. So we look at social media as a way to get business, correct? I mean, most of us look at it like we know we should do it. We think that we can get more business from it. It will help our business grow. I believe it's way more than that. I believe it's the new currency. Because with people's attention, you can direct them in any direction that you want to go. All right. So again, I've been working, Ari, you weren't originally my account manager up there, but we've been working together for almost a year and a half now.
No, it's been since you joined.
See how much I know.
Yeah. Letty was the one that was your account manager at first, and then we flipped. I became your account manager, but I was always the person doing the
deals. Ari worked for a company called Social Imprint. Social Imprint will provide creative ideas for you guys to shoot on a daily basis. They do all of your photo editing. So basically what I do is I pick up a camera, I turn the camera around and start shooting raw content. Now, a 30-second or a minute video on social media might have taken like 3 minutes for me to shoot. So I'll set up and say, hey, this is Ben Esposito over at eXp. Here's what we're going on to. And I might mess up. And then I stop, but the camera keeps rolling. And what her company can do is come in and chop all of that video content up into a 30-second or a minute video. They'll put the subtitles on, they'll create the captions for you, and then they'll post it along with all of the other content. Now, when you're getting going, depending on your level of business and how much money you have to put towards social media, this may or may not be an option. But again, Ari has worked with so many real estate agents, and she's seen successful ones. She's seen ones that have not succeeded and have trailed off. And so I'm excited to talk to both her and Lauren today specifically about, first of all, the value of social media from the standpoint of what we see. The second thing is, some of you beginners that don't post on social media, will give you a little bit of a blueprint on how you can start. Some of the people that have already done it, or if you get past that level, then what's the next step in your social media journey? And then we'll open it up to questions. We'll go over audio and visual equipment if you want to upgrade stuff that you've got, but you can literally do everything from your phone and free apps. So you don't need any technical equipment. You don't need to hire a social media company. Everything that you spend money on will make it easier for you, but you can do it all for free. So you virtually have zero excuses of why you can't do it. It's just with support and help, it will make it easier, especially to do at scale. So welcome, and welcome, Lauren. Ari, thanks for being here.
Of course.
I touched earlier on the value of social media in that it creates a parasocial relationship for your clients, for other agents, for people throughout the community. It can help you broadcast and create better relationships with people in your community, because the more you interact with people, the more they see your name. They, you know, you wish somebody a happy birthday, not just a like, right? They're going to see it. We all do this where we go at the end of the day, and if we did post something, what do? Check how many likes, and then anybody who comments on it. I mean, I can't speak for you, but like the first thing I do is I look at the top right corner and I see like what activity is going on and who sent me messages. Like maybe I'm Bane, but like that's what I do. I immediately go up. And then if it's comments or people liking the posts or stuff like that, right? It fills me up with the energy and the enthusiasm to continue to do what I'm doing. So all of that is very good. But one of the things I haven't touched on yet is I think going through this process of overcoming your fear and the anxiety of being judged, I think social media allows you to start articulating, becoming a better and more clear, concise communicator. It allows you to start to articulate your thoughts and feelings. And as real estate agents in the sales profession, being a better communicator has tremendous value both on social media, on in-person one-to-ones, on networking events. You start to find out also what value you can provide. If people are really interested in certain subjects, it allows you to grow as a person, because in no uncertain terms, I started doing social media about a year and a half before I started doing these events. But if you had told me to come up and speak in front of 10 or 15, 20 real estate agents prior to doing social media, I would not have done it. There's no way. I would have been so insecure about getting up in front of people. But doing social media for so long makes me recognize that the value of what I'm saying is far greater than the fear of what people think I look like. And I'm not suggesting that that just goes away. Standing in my closet this morning, I put on 3 different outfits. Right? Like, I'm not suggesting that it just goes away and that you're always going to be peachy keen, hunky dory, like things are just going to roll off your back and it's going to be massively easy. That's just not how it is. But it does become easier. You do become more confident. My first event that I did in person, if anybody was here, which I think a couple of you guys were, I had slides that I would go from slide to slide to slide to slide to slide. I basically created, Sandy and I, and more last minute than she enjoys, but we created a whole slide deck of like what I was going to say. And I went through it like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times.
So you've improved presenting, but even just your recording and saying you already have the knowledge, and all of you already have the knowledge of being a realtor. It's all in here. It's just, how do you get it out to where it hits and it sits with people? And that takes practice. Ben, Ari can also be a witness that you would go all over the place with one message. We were like, can you speak to this point? And you would just like color the rainbow mm-hmm. with all your thoughts. And then I would even say, nope, I want you to say this. And I'd hit record and you go left again. And I'd be like, no. Mm-hmm. So, and you've gotten way better over time at knowing what you want to say and being able to say it to where people can digest it. And that is a skill.
Well, and I think it's also a confidence. By communicating as often as we do on social media, being forced into that situation, I'm forced to articulate points, which means I can speak them out loud. And if we think about the number of times we have a conversation about interest rates, if you have a conversation with your clients about interest rates 5 times per week, like, it's just not, again, you need to be able to practice and talk about subjects and find confidence in what you're saying. And all of you guys talk to and do enough real estate mm-hmm. that you have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And relaying that knowledge is all we're trying to do on social media, is show that you are an expert at what you do. And the more confidence that you do that with, the more believable it becomes, the better a parasocial relationship happens. And the more likely it is, when I go on listing appointments now, when people call me, then they go on social media and they are checking out all of your online presence. Like, with very few exceptions, people who call you to do business with you or interview you are going to check you out online. They're going to see your reviews. They're going to go to your social media.
Mm-hmm. They're going to see how you not only put up listings, but how do you put them on Instagram, mm-hmm. which we're going to get to later. But it goes from your knowledge of the market to your knowledge of how to even put a home on social media. And they're going to evaluate you on it. So the only way to get good at it is to just start and then refine, 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 refine.
Yeah. And I think what helped for me is that I saw in real time from people that I knew and that I trusted and that I knew prior to and after their social media journeys, I started to see the person that they were becoming, a more confident version of themselves when talking and communicating about business. When talking and communicating about anything for that matter, right? Like, I've hosted Thanksgiving probably 4 or 5 times at my house. And prior to hosting, I never really thought about it. But when you host at the beginning of dinner, typically you get up and you thank everybody for coming and you say a little bit about what's going on. I swear, I used to ruminate about that the first couple of years. What am I going to say? I almost practiced what I was going to say. Because we host like 18 to 20 people at our house. Now I just get up and I talk, because the confidence to know that I can just on the spot have a conversation, communicate what I truly feel, and be more authentic just comes out. It has massive impact on the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to just think, I have to do this to get more business.
But I think it's really important for people to understand the person that you're going to become when you go through this process is as valuable as the business that you will get from it.
I also think that it's really important to be willing to be cringe. I used to tell them that all the time in meetings. You have to be willing to be cringy. You have to be willing to have people think that you are cringe, because at the end of the day, when you start this journey, nothing is perfect. As y'all saw, his first video, and if you compare it now, it's night and day. And as I have been talking with him over the past years, I've noticed his confidence has grown, the way that he's dressed has changed. The way that he presents himself, even when we're meeting one-on-one, is completely different than the Ben that I originally started working with. And I really do credit that to him being willing to really dive into the process of becoming someone that people can rely on social media.
So we talked about like finding your voice, and then it turns into building trust and people know what almost to expect from you. And then they have this, if you show them something they weren't expecting, they still have this relationship with you and this knowledge of everything else you've shown them about yourself. So something seems off brand, maybe it's just you're complex and you're able to go in these different angles on things and be interesting. And it's just like continuing to build, like strengthen the relationship, build the trust, and then you can kind of start to experiment too with things.
And perhaps people go into this with more confidence about who they are as a person than potentially I did. But I had this sort of mental map about what I thought people wanted to see from me, both who I was as a person, the way that I dressed. I mean, for those of you who knew me prior to this version of me over the past couple of years, you didn't find me outside of, I mean, Marcy worked with me for a number of years at Remax. Did you ever see me in less than a suit and a tie?
Only when you were doing the
REO. Yeah, the bank owned stuff prior to, right? Yeah, when I was crawling through dog doors at REO. But like when I started selling conventional real estate in 2014, you wouldn't find me outside the house without a suit on. And that's because, again, I was uncomfortable with, I guess I wasn't even clear on who I was as a person. I molded this image of what I thought people wanted me to be. And what I think social media does is it requires you to be authentic to who you naturally are.
Yes.
And through that, I actually found who I was more through social media than at any other point in my life. And that's why when I tell you that social media has changed my life, it really has. Mm-hmm. Because it's allowed me to see through requirement who I actually am. That's why it, quite honestly, it feels uncomfortable to wear a suit right now.
I think it's the time too, because prior to COVID, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse for pre-pandemic or whatever, but it was different being perceived as professional going into an office.
Yep.
You were wearing a suit, you were wearing heels, and then it happened and everyone starts posting on social media their authentic selves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can let that guard down a little
bit. It's hard to go back after that.
Yeah.
It's hard to go back. And then the audience, I say this all the time, we have gotten really good at sniffing out like authentic versus phony. And we want nothing to do. Your viewers want nothing to do with, that's what a TV show is for. Instagram, they want authentic, they want real, they want to be like kind of beyond the curtain. They want to know what's really going on.
Well, that's why sitcoms don't do it well anymore. Like Yuck Yuck sitcoms, think about it. They don't perform well on TV anymore. All of the shows that are sort of real, that's why all of the reality television shows took off when they did. It's because people wanted to consume real authentic content versus just curated stuff that people thought the media companies thought people wanted. And even just
real people are way more interesting. Like real drama is way more interesting.
Yeah.
Not that you need drama. We've talked about the why, and we're going to have a Q&A at the end if we don't get to something, but I do want to, and like, there's so many benefits that go beyond business. Business is a huge pillar of it. but so many benefits go off, just like personal and business development is like waiting for you on social media, which is wild. For free. But I do want to kind of like transition into the beginners. So beginners, what we've talked about is you're going to make mistakes. You're going to, like you said, be cringy. Ari. And that's okay. And I remember telling Kristen one time, I was like, allow people to grow with you. Like they're going to see you on social media and be like, oh my gosh, she's doing it. Look at her. Like she's doing what I'm too afraid of to do. And then they're not going to judge you on the level because they know they've been following you. They know you're just starting out. So then they're going to say, okay, I'm excited. She's even on here. I'm not going to compare her to the woman that has 400,000 followers that's got like companies doing it for her. We know they're different and our expectations are different as a viewer, but then we're excited to see where you go.
I also think that the cringe factor of things is way more, you will feel like it's cringy. Your audience won't notice it nearly as much as you do.
Yeah, so it's mind over.
Video.
You're more in your head about it than anyone else is really paying attention to. Like they do not care. I'm telling you. No one actually cares how you're showing up. If you want to be in a suit, if you want to come, if that's really who you are, you can come in a suit and you can present yourself that way. If that's who you want to be on social media, if that's who's most authentic to you. But like Ben has said, he changed because that's not authentic to him. That's not how he actually wants to present himself. And so being willing to put yourself out there, being willing to sit there and re-review that video and maybe put some text on it, and you're sitting there and it's like, I don't know if I want to post this. Post it anyway. Because I'm telling you, the people that want to be in your corner will be in your corner as you continue to grow. They will comment, they will like, they will share, because at the end of the day, we're all in this together and they want to see you get to the place where you're aiming to be. And so I think that's really important for y'all to keep in mind as you're just starting out.
Yeah. And the other thing, guys, is that pay really close attention. So if you're taking notes, write this down to really pay attention to the people that you're following and why you follow them. So like when you're consuming content, who are you naturally attracted to? When I glance over and watch my wife scroll her social media feed, it's a lot of gardening and mom's content, but like the moms are literally, the hair is all over the place. Like there's like food everywhere. The house is a mess. Like she almost doesn't want to, again, she'll follow like Kristen Cavallari, whose life looks perfect, right? But so in a certain sense, there are people that are like, hey, I want aspirational content, but the vast majority of what she consumes is relatable content. And think about it, the more put together you are, right, the more unrelatable you are to the average consumer.
For sure.
And so just think about that as you guys consider what you want to put out there. It's not as much about what you want to put out as what people want to receive. And that might like lower the pressure a little bit, that it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to come across like you can stumble over your words. Like that's okay too.
So this is to get you to have the courage to just post, to record and post. And we are going to, in your clipboard, we have handout. We're going to go over some of the B-roll, some of the prompts, some of the cheat sheets, and then also talk about equipment. There's amazing equipment that's like $20. The mic you used for years was like $19.99 off Amazon.
Yeah, they give you like two of them. Yeah.
We're going to go through those items and you're all going to get like a send out with links. That was not expensive. This is the best tripod because you just pop it up. It's discreet. So no one's going to be like, oh, look at that lady with her tripod. No. You're just going to...
Like a handheld, so your hand isn't like shaking when you do stuff and it's like very compact.
Yeah. And it's just like the easier it is to use, the more likely you're going to pop it out when you're at a listing and getting ready and you're at a staging and you're just like, okay, let me just really quick meet.
I have some like, terrible
equipment
that I don't use it because it's so hard to like
set up.
These are much harder to use. Yeah. Yes. So we're going to share links, for all of that. And we're going to go through those, but I do want to talk to really quick. So we talked about the beginners. I do want to talk about intermediate. So you're on, there's a lot of you in here in this room. You're on social media. You are posting, but you realize the struggle is real to stay consistent.
Pun intended. Real.
I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
And there's ways to get through that. And I know Ari has a lot of experience with the intermediate users because she will take those users to the next level. So I do want to open the stage up to Ari about just some like mindset around that.
Okay. So first, I would say if you are struggling with consistency, you should batch record. Select a weekend out of the month that you know you can sit there and record, cut up your videos and put them together, have them scheduled to go out. You can schedule on TikTok now, you can schedule on Instagram, and you can cross-post to Facebook. So everything is pretty streamlined as long as you can find that time within your schedule. And I have very intimate knowledge that you guys are really busy. So it is really best that
you're very kind. You guys are not that busy. I'll be honest with you.
They are busy. They are busy people. But like I said, having that weekend out of the month will change your social game completely. You will not worry about it. You will be like, okay, yeah, it's time to post. Let me repost it to my story. Let me share it with a few different people that I know will also share it with other people. It becomes a weight off of your shoulders.
And with batch recording, so that is how I got through the first probably 6 to 8 months of getting that much content out. So I would shoot in one location. I would have 3 or 4 different changes of clothes. Mm-hmm. I would have the ideas and the content all lined up. So Ari, and a combination of what Ari did, but also I would just save content that I found valuable, or I would find one person that went through like 30 or 40 or 50 of their reels and literally just jot down exactly what they were saying and what they were going through, like the value of a home inspection, staging, like all of the typical things. What you're going to find is that there are 100 of topics, like literally 100 topics that you could record on that will provide value to your audience that you could cycle through 2 or 3 times to get through a year of content. But you'll find that after a while, once you start to get better at that, and that batch recording will also get you more used to recording over and over and over again. So if you do it where you sit down and you record 14 different videos, that's putting in the work where you're getting used to talking, you're getting used to being in front of the camera, you're getting used to not caring, right? By the 14th video, you'll shoot it faster than the first one. And mm-hmm. if you do that every week for a month to get through 3 months, that last one is going to come off like you're just going to be like, you know what? It doesn't matter if I mess up a little bit. This is okay.
So the batch recording, we talked before, Ashley, you're really good at time blocking. You time block cold calling. You time block your gym. You time block batch recording. And it can honestly be in the same spot. There's people I follow and I almost look forward to my like weekly or daily update from them in their car. And they let me know what they're doing. And they're in the same spot and they have the camera right here and they just talk to me and they tell me what they're doing. And so you could batch record in the same spot and then post it on different days. And people just get used to you standing at your sink, washing your dishes, talking to them. About the market.
Lighting in your car is actually pretty good too.
Lighting in the car is great. Lighting in front of a window, like at your kitchen sink, prop your phone up, do whatever, cut flowers, chop vegetables, and talk to people about what you did that day, what listing is coming. That's something that's kind of like popular right now, is you talking to the viewer while you're doing something else. So you're making your coffee and they just kind of relax and listen to you.
So Ari, what prevents people from like succeeding if they get off the ground and they're shooting some content? Like, why do people fail? Like, why do agents fail?
The thing that I've seen the most is commitment issues and consistency issues. And we can fix consistency with batch recording, like I just mentioned, but I cannot fix your commitment. As much as I want to be committed to you, you have to be committed to the process as well. Because we've had where we create for different people and we continue to create, but they're not actually creating anything on their end. So we're using B-roll or whatever footage that we have existing. And I will go and do a lot of research coming through social media, combing through different real estate websites to put together these really good comprehensive ideas that that person could have talked about. Instead, I'm putting it with text on the screen. Those ultimately don't perform as well, because when you're doing that over and over and over and over again, and you're never actually showing up on the page, and you can tell that the B-roll is repeated, people already know, like we mentioned before, they want you to be authentic. They want you to be real, and you're not being real or authentic by reposting the same exact things that you've always been posting. So I would say that the main reason that real estate agents fall off and they don't grow on social media is genuinely their commitment to it. Do you feel like it's important? Do you feel like it adds value to your business? Those are the questions that they have to ask themselves. And if they're half in and half out, ultimately they're going to be out.
That, guys, comes down to like how we talk about everything, right? Your commitment to almost anything is who you're surrounding yourself with. Is it people within a group that don't do social media, that judge everybody else for doing social media? If that's who you're hanging around with and that's who has influence over you, the idea that you're going to stay committed to something that other people are not is very, very minute. Who has accountability set up? Now, I needed accountability of spending money on things, because if I'm going to spend a certain amount of money on editing and posting, that's going to keep me committed because I'm not wasting that money, right? That was what was for me needed at the time, but it was also proximity because I was around other guys that were doing it. And I have friends that real estate agents that started social media with me, Ari knows them, and they've fallen off and they don't do it anymore, right? But I've also stayed around people that now have 40 or 60,000 followers. You know, even more, like I have a ton of them that have 7 or 8 or 10,000 followers. And just think about trying to get an audience like that from any other resource, getting the attention of 10,000 people. But again, the commitment has to do with who you're surrounding yourself with. What accountability do you have in place? Why does it hurt? Like, there has to be a compelling enough reason, and you can start, you can get off the sidelines at an event like this, but then you're going to have to further your commitment to it. You're going to have to really want it. Mm-hmm. And you gain that desire and that trust to know that this is the right thing to do with who you're surrounding yourself with.
I have two comments on that. One, it would be great if you got on your social media, found agents that are doing amazing things on Instagram and be inspired by them. And then it will influence you to also be inspiring to your network, to your audience, to your buyers, your sellers. Wow, she does a really good job. And that was because you were being influenced by inspiring people that are doing new things you've never seen with drones. And then you take the leap and you try it. And then your buyer's like, I want that, or the seller. So it's good to have people on your feed that are agents that are doing amazing things. And that takes a level of like putting down your ego and not being jealous, but being inspired.
And also like doing what you would want in return. So if you notice, anyone who in this room that posts on social media, how often do I comment on your posts? Every time, right? Every time I see one of your posts, and it doesn't take long. Most of you guys recognize that I just throw up a couple of fire emojis or say, great job on the new listing, or like, it doesn't take long.
That's a huge piece to intermediate users. You need to engage. And I know that Ari can speak to this too. And I say to Ben all the time, be on your account. It is so annoying to me when I find an account that I like, and then after like 3 weeks of following them, I can tell it's not them. It's some kind of media company. And I unfollow. I want the person. So I'm constantly, I did the challenge for him in March, be on your stories every single day. People need to see your face, unedited, no Lauren taking the footage. Just be on your stories, be on your account, comment to people, say things that are true to you, like that they can tell it's really you. And that will increase your commitment too. That will strengthen it when you're on.
And I can also say with the stories, on my side because I'm in his analytics. I'm always consistently trying to see what is working, what's not working, what are people, what's resonating with people, right? And so with him being on his stories every single day in March, night and day, again, it is just so important that you are actually using the tools that Instagram has provided to you, because the algorithm works as a point system. If you're commenting, there's a point. If you're posting a regular post, there's a point. If you are doing reels, there's another point. If you're using the stories, there's another point. So it is actually consuming exactly what you're doing on, and then it's rewarding you for it. So if you're not showing up on your stories, you're not actually using anything else but just posting reels and maybe the occasional photo, then your reach is not going to be great. You're not going to grow. You're not going to see the things that you want to see without actually diving into different things on Instagram or any platform for that matter, whatever your main focus is. But I would say for you guys, Instagram is so, so important because you can show a number of different things all on one platform. And I also wanted to speak to the research that Ben mentioned when he's consuming content. Consume content with intention, don't just doom scroll. So if you know that at night you prefer to scroll for personal reasons, then don't try and consume any real estate content. Just consume your personal content, whatever it is that you do. But if you know that you're looking for ideas and you're looking to get creative and be inspired, then that is when you're intentionally consuming content and you're trying to determine what did this person do that I like, what did they do, like all of those different things. So that's just a little tidbit that I think is super important for you guys.
So explain that a little bit more, Ari. So like, if you want to consume real estate content, like just explain that one more time, because I didn't get that.
Okay. So essentially, when you're looking for ideas, consume with the intention that you are looking to be creative, you're looking to redo something, you're looking to create your own ideas, instead of when you just get on social media, you're just sitting there to scroll and seeing what everyone else is doing, and you might see a little bit of a mixture of things, but your brain isn't actually focused on what you need to do for your own social media. It's kind of the difference.
Taking away the distractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that... Yeah. That is my content is way more curated towards real estate agent, sort of motivational, health, fitness. It is curated to, there's much less entertainment on my feed, but that's why you guys all show up. Like, I consume your content because I'm interested to get inspired. I'm also interested in coaching and mentoring people. And so all of that stuff really matters. But again, it's, if you want to stay accountable, if you want, because it does, it feels good. Like when people are commenting, it's sometimes deflating if you put a bunch of time and energy into something and then you put it online and nobody likes it, nobody comments on it.
So for, yes. And it will reward you and it will start to put your reels up. Something about the stories that I really want to like emphasize. I only look at stories. So when people, Ashley said this before, half of your viewers are only going to be seeing, looking at stories. Some people only look, Ben only looks at the feed. He doesn't watch stories. But if you put up stories and you only get 40 views, do not be discouraged, because the more you put up on stories, the more it will push you to the front where you are number one in the feed. And then you will start to get 100, 120, 200, and then people will start to hit the like button, which is super easy. And so you get the little hearts and you get comments. So do not give up on stories. It could be 200 views every single day.
Does anybody here consume stories and reels in the same frequency?
Me.
You sort of do. I'm sure that there are. But like prior to that 30-day challenge of going on reels, I literally never looked at stories. I only consumed reels. So I only swiped up.
And stories, the reason I only watch stories is because
they go away
and they tend to be unedited.
Yeah.
Real authentic. It's not the reel that is an ad.
Yeah.
Or something that it's just someone like talking to me and I'm like, I want to know what they're doing today or what they think about this. And so it's usually more, save it. Obviously, when you do a reel or a carousel or a listing, throw it up on your story. Do some kind of engagement button where it's got a link or a poll or something. But then also just pop on there and put your face on there.
I feel like a story is less of a commitment. Like, I'm thinking thinking to myself, okay, I'll just throw this little thing up. If it's not good enough, it's not
Yeah, who cares? It'll be gone. It'll be gone in 24.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what makes you feel like you don't need to.
But I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Facebook, Instagram will reward you.
Safe space. Yeah.
And then also link it to Facebook. And something I've noticed, Ben and I have talked about this a lot, is Instagram versus Facebook. Instagram tends to be more where I find inspiration and business and people I don't know that I follow. And then Facebook is more of a community. So I'm on Rentham Moms because I live in Rentham. I know what's going on in my neighborhood. I'm on like Neighborhood Watch. So that's more of my like, I just want to be nosy and see what's going on in my actual like small sphere. A little maybe more wholesome. So that could be a way to separate. So I do want to kind of just go through some of the handout. In your clipboard, everyone got, Ari provided this with us or for us.
So again, guys, this is really in an effort to help make it easier for you guys. What we want to do is give you some content, give you some ideas that you can create some batch content and just start posting, right? And I talked about this on a mastermind call the other day about accountability and actually taking action. You know, you're amongst right now a group of people that are here for a reason. People that are here and within our community, they want to help, they want to inspire, they want to be inspired. And it's so much easier. I don't know if you've ever found this, but if you ever want to do something, like let's say it's the easiest example is like working out. Like if you're amongst a group of people that you're working out with, you're much more likely to take it seriously and actually go with the effort and the energy that you need to in order to get better at what you're doing. But if you're by yourself in your basement, you can come up with all of the excuses in the world. So if you need accountability partners, if you want to be inspired, follow the people in this room. Start liking and commenting what they're doing. Share it with them. Share it with me. You guys need to, this will give you everything that you need to do in order to get your social media off the ground. You just need to do it. Like that's what we can't do for you is do it for you. But we're going to make it very, very easy. So yeah, why don't we go over this stuff?
All right, I'll open it up. So I've got them on the B-roll shot list. And then they have the helpful prompts handout and then the cheat sheet.
So tell people why B-roll shot list is important.
B-roll can either be used as a standalone video. You can overlay some text on it. So if you've ever seen any of Ben's videos where he's not actually talking in them and there's text on it and you're reading them, that is B-roll. That is called a Facebook reel. And so it just means there's no talking in it. It's very simple to put together. And that is why I gave you a really, really comprehensive list of all of the different shots you could take. And when you're doing these things, trust me, you're going to think of other shots to get because your brain is automatically being creative and like, oh, wait, I would want to do this or I want to do this. So it's really important to have it because when you start to grow or either work with a company like us, we can use that B-roll to tell a story as you're talking. A lot of Ben's podcast videos, B-roll in them, re-emphasize a point. And so you can visually get a story and then also emotionally you feel what you're talking about.
It makes it more dynamic. Ashley does a really good job with the B-roll content. Your media over the last month has been really good with that stuff. And it also just, I mean, it creates a little bit more character to the video that you're putting out versus just sitting in front of somebody and talking all the time. We do have a lot of that content, but again, if it's not switching, right at the beginning, wasn't it at some point, it was like the big game when I first got in was like, you shoot part of the video here and then you change your location and shoot part of the video there and then you change your location. So it was like, it would cut to different scenes. Was that a thing back in the day, Ari?
It was. It was something that you wanted people to like move around. So the video became like visually dynamic, but that's very unnecessary because you can capture these B-roll and you can insert it in there and you could be sitting in one place. People aren't really looking for all of that anymore. They're looking for someone that is just talking to them, explaining something to them, giving them value. And then that's where these additional things come in to get them to stay. Because videos will normally just get a little bit boring. And so you have to find different ways to keep it dynamic, keep it fresh, keep it moving, and keep their brain stimulated while they're watching.
And you could just record this and save it to a folder. B-roll in your camera. And then when you're editing, one of the apps Ari likes and I like it too is CapCut.
Yes.
And who here has used CapCut? Look at that. Yes. You're all intermediate.
We didn't use the
classic intermediate. Ben has never used CapCut.
No.
I like Velo too. It's VLLO just because sometimes the buttons are easier, but you find what you like, what you're more likely to use, and then you can just add the videos, go into your folder. Every app now, when you go into your photos, y'all know this, you can select a folder, just like your favorites or your B-roll folder.
And CapCut also has different templates that you can put different clips into. So it'll edit the video for you. So it's really, really simple. And it is like literally the easiest tool. And you can even pay for the pro version once you get more experience with it. And you know that there are a few different things that you want to use, but you can't use it on the free version. But the free version is honestly one of the best editing apps out there.
All right, so here's something on B-roll content for you guys too, to actually do it. Because part of it, like I sit here and I go, yeah, I'll do this. And then I'll shoot like one or two of them and I won't do the rest of them because it's annoying and it will take up time and it doesn't feel as productive. So if we talk about like consistency is important and like commitment, well, why not grab somebody else mm-hmm. from the room and say, hey, why don't we batch shoot a bunch of B-roll for 4 hours on this Friday? We'll do half of these. You highlight the ones, I'll shoot you doing some of them. You shoot me doing some of them. You get together, you create the collaboration. You feel like you're helping somebody else out. You're getting something done, right? And then that creates the consistency. Then when you're posting it, you almost feel like, hey, listen, I helped that person with that B-roll content, and you're liking and you're commenting on that stuff. It creates a community of people that are going to be encouraging, because again, the more connected you guys are to this, the more likely it is that you'll stay consistent with it.
And post together on your story. Look what we're doing. We're going to do batch recording while you're doing batch recording. Post it to your story.
Yep.
And then people will be like, when they see your stuff, oh, I remember when they shot that.
And another thing. On B-roll, I know that you guys are seeing like this getting ready for the day section, and you may think that it is more for women or things like that. But as the guys in the room, it's really important that you also show that you do the same things as everyone else. Like, that is very normal. And don't think that it's a feminine thing or that's not for me. I have seen so many real estate agents that are men that they show their process of getting ready, and they show how they take care of themselves and all of those different things. And they put it, they might have a voiceover, or they might just use text to explain what's important to them about getting ready in the day. Maybe they're listening to a podcast. Maybe they're getting their mind together. Maybe it's a good thing for their mental health. All of those different things. You can tell a story with those things. So don't think it's not for you.
I love that. So the next page behind, like if you flip over, is ChatGPT and AI. I use ChatGPT all the time. The more you use it, the more it will get to know you and answer better. We have a lot of tips, but I'll let Ari take the stage.
Yeah. So these ChatGPT prompts, I created them and then I plugged them back into ChatGPT, and it gave a lot of really great ideas. So if you are ever in a funk, if you're not able to be creative at that moment, plug these in. It gives you at least 30 different ideas that you can put into a doc and then pull out whenever you need them. And I also think that ChatGPT is not something that you should necessarily rely on completely. You should change things. You should make them into your voice and all of those things. But it is a great tool for when you need it and when you're not able to do certain things, when you don't have the time, when you're not able to be as consistent as you want to be, but you know that you can at least have something done. And so that's why I put these together for you guys to take home, play around with them, see what that gives you, and see how you're going to use it.
Something else I've done, even as the managing Ben's content and getting him to like, hey, we need to record something about the value, all the steps that go into getting a listing live. And he's like, okay, what do I say? And so I'll go run over to ChatGPT and I'll say, make me a script for social media that includes for getting a listing live, including landscaping, cleaners, staging, blah, 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 blah. And it will throw out like a script, and I'll say, make it shorter, make it funnier, you can edit it. It can tell you what to say, and you don't have to say it word for word, but you know, you have the idea. And then the next step is, what do I say? It'll print it out for you, and then you edit it.
Here's another ChatGPT trick, is if you're asking it to do something for you, ask it to ask 5 questions to clarify, to make it more concise. So like, hey, provide me with a script for a new listing that's going on, but ask me 5 questions to create clarity, to make it more concise on exactly what I want, something like that. If you ask it to ask you questions about it before it gives you the answer, it will come up with questions to clarify so that it actually applies even better.
Like, what am I not thinking of?
Right.
What have I forgotten?
Yeah.
So how many of you use ChatGPT or AI? A lot. I don't like write an email without throwing it in there and saying, is this nice? I know.
Yep. So then I know we're up against it, but cheat sheet for Instagram formats is that last page. Ari, anything on that cheat sheet that you think is like, is it worth sort of prioritizing these for people, or are they all equally distributed? Are they all sort of about the same?
Each one serves a completely different purpose. So depending on what your goal is, that is what you're going to use. So if it's a carousel and you want to show off a listing and you want to kind of tell a story about a listing, create emotions behind a listing, carousel is the format to do that. For reels, that is for reach, that is to entertain, give people, you know, you can give people a behind the scenes look, all of those different things. It's for more visual connection. It depends on what you're wanting to use it for. And in that, there's a breakdown for exactly some different uses for those different formats on Instagram. But the main thing that you guys should focus on is your reels and getting up on your stories.
I personally like carousels, especially at the end of the month. It's something you could just throw in. I'm planning to do it on Ben's like Life Lately. And then you just throw up some pictures. People enjoy that, especially if you haven't been posting in a while and then you need to like kind of break back into it. That might be an easy way of saying like, hey, this is what I've been up to lately, and I'm like back in it.
That's awesome. So I have a couple of final thoughts, but I do want to run through questions that you guys have. Do you guys have questions for me, Ari, or Lauren right now? It can be very technical and specific. It can be general. Does anybody have any questions?
As far as, okay, so we post this stuff on Instagram every day. So should we just throw everything that's on Instagram onto YouTube, onto Facebook? Or is there like a certain percentage or a better platform? Like, you can't throw everything on YouTube. It's not everything's a video. But how would you break that down? Like, what percentage should go to YouTube? And what percentage should go on?
So he asked, when you're reposting things from Instagram, so you start out with Instagram and you're going to repost it to TikTok and Facebook and YouTube, do you post everything, just throw it all out there, or do you only do some of it to YouTube or some of it to Facebook? Do you just duplicate?
If you can spread yourself that way, if you have the bandwidth for it, then you post it on every platform. And some videos that perform well on Instagram may not perform as well on TikTok, but it's about exposure. Ultimately, on TikTok, you can link your Instagram so people can go right to your Instagram and follow you. They might just follow you on TikTok. Some people may not even use Instagram. I know people in my own personal life that don't have Instagrams, but they have TikToks. And so you want to be showing up on every platform that you can possibly continue to do consistently.
I was really impressed with YouTube Shorts. Do not sleep on YouTube Shorts.
Yes.
Some of his videos on Instagram get like 400 views, and then on YouTube Shorts, they'll get 1,200.
So speaking on YouTube real quick, YouTube is, so like, if anybody has any kids that are like age 7 and up, they don't watch television anymore. They just watch YouTube.
Especially 20-year-olds.
Yeah, you get into that generation. Like, my much younger brother-in-law lives with us and he's 17 years old. And we're like, do you know, you can watch TV anytime you want. No, he just has his iPad and his phone and he watches YouTube. They don't consume content like we do anymore. YouTube is essentially like, and not to go into YouTube too much, but that is the next step. Because what you can do is you can create series within YouTube right now, where if you want to teach something to consumers. You can set it up into little series of videos on how to. So if you're getting ready to sell your house, here's the first thing that I would do and take them through how to get their, you know, the exterior stage. Here's how to set up your kitchen and what you want to do with your countertop. Have it be 5 or 10 minute clips or videos, and then you set it up on YouTube and it lives. The difference between YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok is that it lives in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Their algorithm doesn't throw a video down on your feed so that it's not seen anymore. If it's performing well, it'll start performing well again, you know, because YouTube is the second largest search engine behind Google. Mm-hmm. So when people want to know how to do something, what is the best restaurants in Mansfield? What do you do for fun in Mansfield? What do you do for fun in Canton? Like, how do you sell a house? What's the market like in this town? So if you're putting content, it's searchable much more so on YouTube than it is on the rest of the mm-hmm. platforms. YouTube is a massive, massive future value add where you can actually create that and people can consume your information in batches. So if you want to learn about how to do something in real estate, literally you can just say how to sell your house in 2025 in New England. And you can have all of this information. They'll just click video after video after video. So YouTube is massive. Don't sleep on YouTube.
For sure. For sure. And also people scroll a lot on their TV. I don't know if you guys do that on YouTube. They'll watch shorts on their TV. I do it with my mom when I'm over at my parents' house. And so she sits there, she watches a whole lot of YouTube shorts, and it's about a number of different things. And so it is important to show up on every platform because some people just don't do other things. They think it's a waste of time. I'm a big YouTube person. I solely watch YouTube. It's a better sense of connection. It's kind of like a little TV show that you get from different people. And so if you know that you can support that in the future and you know that at the end of the day, you would like to be on YouTube and you'd like to create long form content, go ahead and start showing up on shorts because people will subscribe and then you'll have those subscribers who are ready to start posting that long form.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So you had a question?
How do you think the right recipe is for like sharing with a team? Like, do you just want to reshare the same thing or do you tag somebody? Is there a recipe for that?
For your...
So like, say you have a team.
Okay.
Like maybe you have a listing, but you have other agents. How do you approach it from that?
Well, what is your goal?
Well, you have a new listing, but you also want your audience and maybe your team's audience to see the same thing. Is there a recipe or a process for that?
Is there a right or a wrong way or even a recipe for sharing content across your team? So if Ben has a list or if Kristen has a listing, does Ben share it? Collaborate?
Okay. Typically what I do when I'm posting for Ben or when I'm creating anything for him, if the person is actively in the video, I'll collaborate. If he mentions them, I may tag them, but that's kind of what I do. But I definitely would share it with your team members as well. Have them share it to different platforms, not different platforms, onto their stories. And that would be the best approach. But that's just a personal preference, honestly, how you want to tag them, whether or not they're in it or not.
So you think you should share someone's story, but not to their grid?
Yeah, I think that, so he asked whether you share it to another story. I think it, like she said, I think it depends on whether they're actively involved in it and what the goal of that individual agent is, right? So like, it depends on how you structure your team. A lot of the agents that are on my team, they're all individual agents, right? So when we collaborate on a listing, they're typically sharing it to their audience as well. Now that can really help for an agent that doesn't do a whole lot of business or doesn't, it has to be what their goals are. I think if you take it from that aspect of like, okay, your team members' goals are to grow their following, then it makes a lot of sense for them to share content or even be in it with you. So if you have a new listing, have them come out and shoot that content with you, because then that's going to relate. If they just always share the content that you're putting out, mm-hmm. it almost is like an extension of your account and it's not going to get the interaction that you want it to have both for them and or for you.
So say you're both in it, you both share it.
Yes. And it makes no difference to me if so yesterday we were looking at a video. An agent had put it out and I wanted to know who did the media for it. Well, it was listed as a collaborator. They were tagged and they were listed in the caption.
Do you know what a collaboration is? So essentially, if you collaborate on something with one of your team members, it will send them the video. And if they accept the collaboration, it will go into their grid.
I think I've seen it because it'll show two accounts.
Yes, that's a collaboration that will show up on their grid. And they can decide whether to just accept the tag, so it shows up on their tagged feed, or it shows up on their collab feed on their grid.
And I think when you create a story, you can tag them in the story, mm-hmm. and they can share it. But I think also if you share the story and then you edit it, then you can mention somebody, and then they don't see, they're not in the story as like physically being tagged, but they're later mentioned, and then they can still share it without, right?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, mentioning is a great way. If you post something and you're like, oh, I forgot to tag that person, going in into the three dots and it says mention. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. Collab, tag in the caption, just something. And it definitely,
they want to share it, but if they're not directly related to it, so it would be weird that they were
yes.
tagged on it.
Yes.
But like I have something that like they may want to share, but no pressure. Then